This is the Valley Voices podcast. I'm Vanessa Cirillo, and today I have a treat for you. We're sharing the very first episode of The Secrets We Keep, a brand new podcast from NEPM. As a journalist, Karen Brown has always been a fan of radical openness. She spent decades getting people to talk to her, reporting on mental health and science here at NEPM, as well as for NPR, The New York Times, and The Boston Globe. So she was curious to understand the opposite impulse, secret keeping. What are the benefits, the harms? What are the stories we don't tell say about our world? And what do they do to our minds? The Secrets We Keep has episodes exploring secrecy around sexual orientation, abortion, genetic origins, family scandals, and money. After you listen, make sure you subscribe so you can hear them all. Karen begins the podcast with a family secret of her own. This is Anatomy of a Secret, episode 1 of The Secrets We Keep from NEPM.
Hello, Karen.
How are you?
I'm good. What time's with you there?
It's 7:30.
This is Michelle chatting with me over Zoom on a Sunday morning. We probably talk once a month or so. This time I brought along my daughter.
Hello, Lucy. What a lovely surprise.
Michelle lives in Australia, so these virtual reunions are tricky to schedule.
Hey, Lucy, when did you get back from France?
I got back about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We chatted for a few minutes, but I had actually asked Michelle for this call so I could grill her a bit about our early relationship. We first met in the early 1970s when we were both children. She was living in England at the time.
Basically, when I was probably around 6 or 7, I was told that my godfather was coming over from America. And so up to that point, I hadn't really been aware I had a godfather.
Her godfather was my father, Rex.
And met up with her first on her own at an Indian restaurant in South Kensington.
I really clicked with him. I really liked him.
A few years later, my sisters and I were invited to meet Michelle on a trip to the London Zoo.
And so I have very clear memories of a chimpanzee party that we all apparently enjoyed and roared laughing with.
My dad remembered that day, too. He thought my British cousins were there as well.
One of the first things that one of my nieces, Anita, said was, "Doesn't Michelle look like us?" quite unprompted.
So much has happened since that chimpanzee party, and so much of reality is different than what I thought, most of it hidden from us for another 15 years. Welcome to The Secrets We Keep, a 5-part podcast from NEPM about the stories we don't tell, what they say about our world, and what they do to our minds. I'm Karen Brown. To start, I'd like to tell you a bit about my own relationship with secrecy. As a journalist, I'm not a fan of keeping things hidden. You know the Washington Post slogan, "Democracy dies in darkness." I spend a large part of my workday convincing people to tell me things they may prefer not to. Secrets in public life, I believe, have led to so many harms, from Vietnam War deception, to bosses who harass their employees, to the addictive risks of pain medication. Even in my private life, I consider myself a pretty open book. I'm willing to talk about personal details with friends and even acquaintances that others might consider TMI. I even wrote about my dating failures for the New York Times. Sometimes I wonder where that lack of filter comes from. It could just be an extroverted personality, or it could have originated with the big secret kept from me in childhood, which is what I'm going to explore in this first episode as I pick apart the anatomy of a family secret, in this case, mine. My parents, Rex and Dahlia, got married in Boston in 1965, when so much was happening in this country.
From Birmingham to Selma.
And just then the gunfire went off and his hand was up.
2 miles south of the demilitarized zone at the narrow top of South Vietnam.
My father had recently moved from his native England and my mother from her native Israel. At the time, they were considered late to marry. He in his early 30s, she in her late 20s, and both wanted to have children. I was born at the end of 1966, and everything was on target for the perfect nuclear family. My father was an academic, my mother an interior designer, and they were starting to think about a second child.
Wait, what are you guys doing? Sun salutations?
Which would turn out to be two children. My twin sisters, Leora and Tamara, also agreed to talk with me about our family's past. I visited them at Leora's house in Virginia, near where we grew up. They tried to get me to join them in an outdoor yoga practice.
Let's do three sun salutations and then do the thing.
No, we're not doing the yoga mat thing.
The three of us are very different. Anyway, I wanted to talk to them about an afternoon in 1986. I was home from college, and we were all called into our parents' bedroom.
And we were in their room at the foot of their bed, and they said, "We have something we need to tell you."
That's my sister, Leora.
And we're looking at each other like, what in the world could it be?
Mm-hmm. Did you think they were going to announce they were getting divorced?
Possibly. We didn't know if it was good or bad or whatever.
That's when my father said, "You know Michelle, right?" Well, she isn't my goddaughter. She's my actual daughter. It felt like 5 minutes before anyone could say anything. It wasn't necessarily bad news, as we really liked Michelle, but it felt big, confusing, daunting.
Honesty was always super important in the family, so there's a little layer of, like, mistrust of whatever I know right now. Like, are there other secrets? I just remember my reality kind of shifting, like, wow, what I really thought was true in the world is not true.
Here, let me just get this stuff. So, Dad, I'm not going to give you your blood pressure medicine just yet because I'm trying to figure out your dosage. I haven't quite figured it out.
My father, Rex, died in 2017. But while he was sick with pancreatic cancer, we talked a lot about his life and family and Michelle.
Last, you were talking about trying to find this little girl that you were desperately eager to meet. Here's how he found out. In the late 60s, as my parents were trying for a second pregnancy, a letter arrived from England from a 20-something woman all called G. A few years earlier, before my parents met, G had been a secretary at my dad's company in London, and they had a brief relationship, including what my dad described as a dalliance at the Christmas party. A few years later, G wrote to Rex.
I had a letter from her with a photograph of a four-year-old girl, and she basically intimated fairly clearly that she was my daughter.
The letter arrived without an address, without any request for help, but Rex desperately wanted to find his daughter.
It was, as I say, an almost violent compulsion to find this missing daughter, full of great emotion.
With the help of his sister in England, he did track down Michelle and her mother, but that was just the beginning. As far as Michelle knew, a different man, the man who had been briefly married to her mother when she was born, was her biological father, and no one corrected her.
I don't have very many memories of who I thought was my dad originally. I mean, not bad memories, but I don't have many strong memories.
The few adults who knew about Rex and Michelle, my parents, my aunt, and Michelle's mother, G, agreed they would not tell any of the children about their biological connection. Instead, the story would be Rex was Michelle's godfather. Essentially, they all agreed to lie to us and to everyone in order to keep the secret.
It appears the deal was between Mum and Rex that he could have the relationship with me, no problem. But it was on Mum's terms when I would find out who my dad was.
When I talked to my mother, Dahlia, recently, she had a somewhat different recollection. She says it was also her condition that Michelle would only be invited to hang out with our family if no one knew she was Rex's daughter.
I was just too protective of my immediate family. It was maybe a competition, or I have no idea what it was. I can't tell why.
But it sounds like you have a little bit of guilt about that now. Is that true? Do you feel...
I feel guilty, but I also can't help the way I felt then and I feel now. And I mean, these days, kids know everything from age 5 to 6 already. But at the time, it wasn't something that people talked about.
What were you afraid of
about us knowing? That's a question I have.
That's my sister, Tamara.
Well, there were two things. One, I thought you were too young to know. Another thing, I didn't approve of the way it happened. Mm-hmm. And I thought if I don't tell you, it hasn't happened.
You could live in a different reality in which that was not the case.
Yeah, I think I was living in a different reality.
For Rex, there were many times he wished he could tell Michelle he was her father, but he was worried he'd lose access to her.
What was it like for you all those years not being able to tell her that you were her real father?
It was bearable. You know, I dreamt of the time when I could acknowledge it. And she once told me that she wished I was her father, which was interesting and touching.
My dad put a lot of effort into making the secret work for the two of them, frankly, being the best godfather to Michelle that he could.
I started a scrapbook when I was 9. And would you believe that the front page of the scrapbook is Rex's first ever letter to me?
I asked her to read it.
So here we go. And this was October the 9th, 1972. And he's written, "Michelle, dear, with luck, I will catch your birthday. And if I don't, it will be a pretty poor showing for me as a new godfather for you, won't it? Because I really do want to do a good job on that front, in spite of being a disorganized, absent-minded professor. The most important thing, I suppose, is that you know that all the time, I love you very much. If you ever need me for something, I will be there to help you in any way."
Over the years, they grew closer.
One of the occasions I was with Rex, he went to a jeweler's shop and he bought me a little locket. And I have it actually here.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
And at the time, there were no pictures in it. But my mum very kindly went and found a picture of Rex. And she put the picture of Rex in. And I thought, oh, isn't that lovely? And then I looked across and I realised there was a picture of my mum on the other side. But I didn't go and put one and two together.
Yeah, do you think that could have been your mum's subtle way of giving you the truth?
I think it was just her way of saying, these are two people that love you very, very much. That's what I picked up from it at the time.
Michelle and my dad continued with visits across the Atlantic every year or two through her childhood and adolescence. Throughout this time, her grandparents played a strong role in her upbringing, and Michelle's mother eventually remarried. All the while, they kept Rex's paternity a secret.
I think she was afraid that it might impact me if I found out that I'd get all messed up. Maybe I'd be a teenager, a 12 or 13-year-old, and go off the rails.
Things might have stayed that way indefinitely. But then Michelle's mother, G, had a change of heart. When Michelle was 25, she got engaged and was about to travel with her fiancé, Eamon, to the U.S., where she also had a lot of Irish relatives. G decided it was time for Michelle to learn the truth.
And I remember it very clearly, sitting in a little sunroom in her house a couple of days before I was flying out.
G said, "Michelle, I want you to know you'll be visiting some very special family, and not just the Irish relatives."
So I said, oh yeah, it'd be great. I'll be able to see Rex and, you know, the family or whatever. No. Rex is really family. And I couldn't understand. And then suddenly she told me, she said, "No, Rex is your father." And with that, I burst into tears and I cried my heart out. And my poor mother thought, oh my God, she's lost it. But actually, I was crying with happiness because I already loved him. And it was like, oh my God, now I actually have a father, you know, who I never realized he'd been with me all along, or certainly for the last 10 or 15 years of my life.
After Michelle knew, it was only a matter of time until my sisters and I would find out. So that's when our parents told us. Unfortunately, by then Michelle lived in Australia, and she and I wouldn't see each other in person for another 20 years. But for Michelle and our dad, the revelation allowed them to begin a more honest father-daughter relationship. Michelle remembers that first trip to the U.S. after her mother told her the truth.
Actually, that was so strange because I was meeting Rex for the first time as my father rather than my godfather. And probably for the first 20 minutes of our catch-up in Washington, because it was just me and him initially, it felt a bit stilted, a bit awkward. And then after that, we just got back into the old swing of things and we were totally fine.
My feelings were not intrinsically different from what they had been before. It was the same sentiment, but stronger.
So you were finally allowed to act as a father.
Right.
You didn't have to pretend that you weren't.
That's right. The relationship didn't change radically. It just became sharper and more expressed.
Michelle and her husband had two children. And when Rex started to make long trips to see them in Sydney, they would refer to him as their grandfather. But even so, he didn't have the same relationship with Michelle that he had with me, Tamara, and Leora.
You were his real family, in the sense he was your father growing up. He was there for you when you, you know, cut your knees, all those things. Whereas I was like not a blow-in, but I was definitely somebody who was on the periphery.
And here Michelle actually thinks the secret was a gift, in that growing up, she didn't measure her worth as a daughter against the family he saw all the time.
If I'd known he was my father and I had a second family and I go and spend weekends knowing that he had a family somewhere else, but that never really happened.
This is probably a good time to step back and say a bit about my father. He was witty, generous, affectionate, also often maddening with terrible judgment. He never matched his socks and ate way too many Snickers for his diabetes. And he wasn't always a good husband, but he was well-loved, including by all of his daughters. Still, decades after the big secret over Michelle was revealed, her role in our family remained fraught. My mother tried to be polite, but she was always uncomfortable with Michelle's genetic connection to the rest of us. And I give her a lot of credit for being honest about this.
Was there any piece of it that you kind of felt like, here's this person from the outside of the family that the rest of us are all related to, but you're not related?
I did feel it as a threat in the early years, yeah. But it was partially because Rex and I had problems. So that was another one.
In other words, if you hadn't had problems, you might have been more comfortable with it?
Something like that, yeah.
The weird thing, though, to me at least, is that Michelle forgave the adults for keeping this very big secret from her throughout her childhood. She understood their reasoning, especially her mother's.
I think when I finally found out, it was like, how come I never knew this? But I sort of respected Mum. She didn't want anything to mess up my life. And she obviously wasn't ready to tell me until then.
But I wasn't very forgiving. I was angry, partly because I was lied to and because I was denied the chance to develop a more sisterly relationship with Michelle. But mostly I was angry on Michelle's behalf. Wasn't she mad she was allowed to believe her actual father abandoned her as a child? Wouldn't that do something to your emotional development?
I never had those feelings. I don't know. I think I was in a very nurtured environment.
From the reporting I've been doing about secrets and their aftermath, many people do report their whole lives feeling upended, their core selves feeling untethered, especially when the secret is their own origin story. And we'll get to that in a future episode. But that just wasn't Michelle's experience. And for that, I'm grateful.
I mean, I did miss out, of course. I didn't have a father who was with me when I was growing up. But because I had that relationship with him and that there was a male figure in my life who really cared for me and loved me, that was enough for me. That was all I needed.
Dad, do you want to drink a little bit? It sounds like your mouth is a little dry.
You just get dry.
By the time our father was dying of cancer, the familial playing field was mostly level. My mother was still hesitant to call Michelle Rex's daughter, but none of the rest of us had any qualms. And in his final years, Michelle often flew from Australia to help care for him, like when he had a bad experience at a rehab center.
You know, you were a real advocate for him at the nursing home. So I felt like by then you were full-fledged, this is my dad and you better treat him well, you know?
Yeah, you're right. To be honest, probably the last 10 years of his life, I truly felt like I was his daughter.
Today, I consider Michelle fully my sister and my children's aunt. Even so, I did want to explore how the long tail of the secret affected all of us going forward. In the case of my sister Leora, it led to a conscious decision not to keep her own children in the dark about their origins. Leora had her twins, who are now 8, through in vitro fertilization using an egg donor.
I'm just constantly trying to make sure that in an age-appropriate way, I'm being honest about everything so they can feel proud of their history.
So that there's no shame involved.
Yeah, and it's never a secret because that's a burden for them to carry with their friends.
Of course, we all keep secrets of some sort. No one needs to know how much I paid for my last pair of dress shoes, or that I occasionally stalk an ex-boyfriend on Facebook. And as I'll explore later in this podcast series, there's a difference between secrecy and privacy. We have various comfort levels about how much we reveal.
I certainly wouldn't say everyone should get rid of all their secrets.
Michael Slepian is a Columbia University professor who studies the psychological effect of secrets.
Not all our secrets hurt, and we need to understand the difference between the secrets that do hurt us from the ones that don't if we're going to understand why they're harmful.
And that, for me, is what turns a private truth, a secret, into a matter of ethics or integrity. Is what you're keeping hidden harming you or anyone else? As I mentioned earlier, Michelle doesn't feel harmed by the secret of who her real father was, but she does worry that her mother, G, who's in her 80s, could feel criticized for it. That's one reason she told G I was working on a story about our family, but she didn't say it was about secrets.
Secret is a weird word. It's sort of like something that's bad, but that's just a connotation. I suppose I was afraid that she'd feel bad that she kept it secret for so long.
Was it just about protecting you, or do you think it was also a matter of what society would have thought, you know?
I'd say it was probably a mixture of the two. We never really spoke about it.
In one of my last taped conversations with my father, Rex wanted to leave a message for Michelle. It's not exactly an apology, since it wasn't his choice to keep the secret. He just wanted to make sure she knew that one of the greatest joys of his life was...
First, to know that I had a lovely daughter, and the other was to be able to acknowledge it openly and express my love for you, which grows ever stronger, if that's possible.
You've been listening to The Secrets We Keep, a podcast about the stories we don't tell, what they say about our world, and what they do to our minds. Over the next 4 episodes, we'll explore secrets of sexual orientation, abortion, genetic origins, and money. The Secrets We Keep is a production of NEPM, written and reported by me, Karen Brown, edited by Sam Hudzik, with music by Katie Simrow. Next episode, we'll look at the secrets those in the LGBTQ community have been keeping for years, and not always of their own choosing.
I got good at kind of scanning a crowd to see if I would, you know, see somebody from school. He could sense that, and he would just step back as though we weren't side by side. I did not realize what I was asking of him.
And we're in her office and like sweat pouring and I'm so nervous. And she asked me if I killed somebody. And I was like, no, I'm gay. She was like, oh girl.
So really the secret for a long time was the secret I kept from myself.
That's next on The Secrets We Keep. Thank you for listening.